Hey, how about it, race fans? It's Richard Allen of InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com coming at you with another edition of Rich's Ramblings, the first edition of 2021, as a matter of fact. I'm recording this on January the 18th, 2021, so if you're listening sometime beyond that date, give you a little bit of point of reference there. I intended to do more of these last year. I started doing them back in 2020, and once the season kind of got all jumbled up because of coronavirus, I just never got back to them. Or a lot of things went off the rails last year, and I guess Rich's Ramblings was one of those things. But hopefully we can do some regular installments. Planning to maybe do a few of them based on dirt racing and some of them based on maybe NASCAR or the pavement. This one tonight is based on dirt racing, so let's go ahead and get started. It's really a testament to how the sport of dirt racing has evolved over the last few years when you think that just this past weekend, we had one of the biggest racing weekends of the year, and it's in mid-January. January is supposed to be the time when all these guys are in their shops working on stuff, trying to get faster for the upcoming season, which isn't supposed to be for weeks away. But this year, as is now becoming the case almost every year, mid-January is racing season, just like it would be for mid-July. But look what we had going on this past weekend. Had the World of Outlaws Morton Building Late Model Series. They got underway down in Florida, started their 2021 season already here in mid-January down in Florida at Volusia Speedway Park. Then we had the Kaiser Manufacturing Wild West Shootout out at FK Rod Ends Arizona Speedway out west there. And also, of course, the Chili Bowl ran this weekend all last week at Spirit River Expo Center there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So since there's so much to talk about, let's just go ahead and get to it. Let's start with the World of Outlaws Late Model Series, being that that's a big national tour and they're kicking off their season. They intended to run three races last week at Volusia. Actually only got in two of them. Mother Nature claimed one of them on Friday night, but they did run on Thursday and on Saturday. And there were some interesting points I felt like came out of that I want to talk about. For one, had some commonalities among the two drivers who won the features. Apparently you had to be named Kyle to win. Kyle Bronson won on Thursday and Kyle Strickler won on Saturday, but then also something else they have in common. Both those guys intend to run the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series regularly this year. So came in and stole a couple of World of Outlaw races. But if you look back to Thursday, Bronson, man, he was just outstanding there in his home state. Really put on a great show and drove to that win. Bronson, kind of one of those guys who I think he's there are some tracks where he's really good, and then I think there are some tracks he has a hard time getting a hold of. And those tracks down in Florida, his home state, he's able to get a hold of them. So here in these early parts of the season, he's kind of got to make hay while the sun's shining, so to speak, whether it be on the World of Outlaws Tour or the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series Tour. He's got to pile up as many wins as he can and then hope that as the season goes on, he can – start building more experience and a bigger notebook for some of those tracks that are further away from home so he can start winning on those as well. Then on Saturday night, Kyle Strickler got the win. You know, Strickler's known for just winning scores of modified races, but over the last few years he's really been focusing on late models, and last year was somewhat of a little breakout year for Strickler in the late model. Got that big win in those Eldora preliminaries. You know, Eldora last year didn't have the World 100 and they didn't have the Dirt Late Model Dream, so they put on Dirt Late Model Stream and the Intercontinental Classic, and one of the prelims to one of those events, Strickler got a win, and anytime you win at Eldora, that's something to hang your hat on. He also picked up a Lucas Oil win last year too, and this was his first World of Outlaws win, so it's going to be interesting to see how his season plays out, because he does plan to run the full Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series season with PCC Motorsports. Interesting thing, he was in his own car down at Volusia, which is a Longhorn, and he's really, you know, gotten a good hold on the Longhorn. However, the team he's going to drive for regularly on the Lucas Series uses Rocket Chassis. So we're going to have to see how he adapts to that chassis and if he's able to find the same kind of success in a Rocket as he found in a Longhorn. But very interesting race in that second one, especially on Saturday, in the fact that Scott Blomquist ran a very close second. He almost got the win. As a matter of fact, late in the race, he got under Strickler and actually briefly got ahead of him as they ran through turns one and two there at Volusia and onto the backstretch. But Strickler had that high side momentum and was able to get back around him through turns three and four and hold on to the lead. But Blomquist kind of looked like the old Blomquist there for a good bit in that race, which raises the question, you know, is Blomquist back? You know, since he had that motorcycle accident a couple of years ago, which he messed up his leg and his hip, I don't even think he would argue that he's not been the same since then, that he's struggled. And no doubt you can see when he would go to get into the car and get out of the car, he was struggling physically. So you know that he was having issues on the inside of the car too. So is he back? Is he recuperated well enough that he can now contend for race wins and championships like we're used to seeing Scott Blomquist do? And he certainly indicated that on Saturday. You know, there were a couple of times last year he did pick up a win or two last year, and there were times when it looked like the old Blomquist was emerging, but then it would just sort of fade back away. So can he maintain this kind of momentum? He talked about in his post-race interview that he was using a new car, one that had just recently been built, and that his team is working on another new car, second new car, which they hope to have with them when the World of Outlaws return to Volusia, just less than a month away, kind of mid-February. So we'll keep an eye on Blomquist as far as that goes. And something else that got my attention from the World of Outlaw races at Volusia was one of the guys who didn't really do anything to get any attention. We saw two finishes from Brandon Shepard, the defending champion, the three-time World of Outlaw champion, that we're not used to seeing out of him. He had a ninth and a seventh, and of course those are not, you know, they're not horrible finishes, not a terrible weekend, but still, you know, we're used to seeing Brandon Shepard's bad nights still end up on the podium. But that it shows the caliber of team that Rocket Chassis House car is. In that they, you know, they may not have had their best effort, but they were still able to finish in the top 10. So, you know, they certainly didn't get off to a devastating start. I can't say that I'm worried about the Rocket team that blew number one. I'm curious, though. I want to see the next time they race how well they do. So that will be something to look at. And then if we go on to the Wild West Shootout, talking about Lucas Oil guys who made a splash somewhere other than the Lucas Oil Series. Three of them made a big splash out in Arizona at the Wild West Shootout. Jonathan Davenport won three of the features out there, which gave him a $10,000 bonus, being the only driver to get three wins. He was hoping for bigger bonuses out there, but that's 10,000 still nothing to sneeze at, especially when you consider that Sunday feature paid $25,000 to win and he won it. So essentially picked up $35,000, which is, you know, that's top of the line dirt late model money right there. But Davenport looked like the old Jonathan Davenport that we have been used to seeing, say, from 2015 up through 2019. You know, admittedly, on his own part, he would have told you that last year was not the season that they hoped to have. But they have a new car, and he talked about in his Victory Lane interview on Sunday about how he's having fun racing again and how great it was to have a car that's very consistent and very fast. And that may very well spell bad news for the competition this coming year if the old Jonathan Davenport's back. And then another guy also going to run the Lucas Tour this year that made a splash out there was Tyler Erb. And we know that one thing we can count on with Tyler Erb, his foot's going to be on the gas. And it certainly was. You know, one of his wins that he pulled off was just tremendous. He did a three wide pass where he split between two other cars to take the lead, and then had to fight off Ricky Thornton Jr. Later on to go ahead and claim that win. So he's always fun to watch. What we've got to pay attention to as the season plays out with Tyler Erb, You know he's always going to be fast. You know he's always going to be aggressive, and you know he's always going to be hard charging. Can he learn over time to, say, take an eighth-place car and actually accept an eighth-place finish rather than maybe trying to do something that the car is just not capable of doing on that particular night and winds up 22nd or 32nd or however many cars are in the race where he could have, you know, had a top 10. And that hurts you in the point standings over the long haul. So we'll see. You know, you want a driver to be aggressive and hard charging. As the old saying goes, you know, it's easier to slow a hard charger down than it is to speed up somebody who's not a hard charger. So over time, as he gets more experience and everything, I think that Herb will learn that magic formula that will get him to win when he can win, but accept what the car will give him on those nights when it's not quite as good. And then lastly, the Ricky Thornton Jr., man, this guy just keeps looking better and better. Him and that SSI Motorsports team that he drives for, he started driving for him last year, picked up, you know, a couple big wins last year, got one of the wins out in the desert this past week, and looks like he's going to run for Rookie of the Year on the Lucas Series. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does. I think when he's on tracks that he knows that he runs well on, I think he's going to give those Lucas regulars fits. And then, you know, it's a learning process when you're going to tracks that you haven't been to before. So that team, SSI Motorsports, has raced on the Lucas Tour before, back when they had Hudson O'Neill as a driver. So that'll be something to watch, too. I think he's going to be one of the more dynamic rookies that we've seen come along in a little while. And then lastly, just to finish off, the Chili Bowl. You know, I know I'm mostly focused on the late models, but, man, that thing is a lot of fun to watch. You know, 200-plus cars enter that thing. I don't know a whole lot about midget sprint cars, but just watching that thing play out over a week's time until you get to that final race on Saturday night and going through that so-called alphabet soup, as they have those F mains and E mains and D mains and so on, as those guys try to work their way up. But it's always such a star-studded field, as it was this year. A lot of NASCAR guys and some of the guys from the big sprint car series are in there. Tim McCready, a late model driver, is a regular out there as well. But it came down to, like it seems to always do, it came down to Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell this year, with Kyle Larson picking up the win. Christopher Bell, there at the end, he was pursuing Kyle Larson, but then he ultimately ended up adding to the flip count as he turned over with just a few laps to go in his pursuit. So just a great weekend of racing. I mean, you can't have much more fun than that, just sitting on your couch. And that's what I was doing, because I certainly couldn't make it to Volusia or Arizona or Tulsa over the weekend. So I'm thankful for all those streaming services that put that stuff out there for us to see. Let's be mindful that the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series will kick off this weekend, head down to Altec Raceway, which is in Florida. And as a matter of fact, they'll run their entire speed weeks in Florida. They got Altec for a couple of shows, and they'll go for their typical week-long time at East Bay Raceway Park. They're right outside of Tampa. If you ever plan to go to East Bay, your days are numbered as far as getting to do that, because they are going to be shutting East Bay down in a couple of years. So maybe you need to start making those plans if you want to go see it. And then they'll finish up at Bubba Raceway Park there in Ocala to wrap up their portion of Speed Week. So we'll keep an eye on that and see if any of these three guys who raced in Arizona, can they carry that momentum forward into Florida, or that long trip wear them out? We'll watch and see either way. And, of course, they're going to be mixed in with a lot of other big stars. Jimmy Owens and Josh Richards and Tim McCready will all be jumping in there as well. So it's going to be fun to watch. So keep an eye on all that. And also, we're thankful on InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com that you all keep checking out our content. And we can tell by the page views that you are. So we're very thankful for that, and we hope that you'll continue to do it. But until next time, this is Richard Allen wishing you the very best, and hope you stay happy and healthy.